Hey, what's up, you fucking weirdos? It's your old pal Ian here, and I'm happy to report my brain feels clear. That's right. Good to see you. Good to be seen. Good to hear you. Good to not feel mean. I gotta take a mean shit. Be right back. And I'm back. Woo! Man, coffee takes a one-way ticket on Acela Amtrak Express from my mouth right to my ache. But it feels good, man. Yeah. I am happy to be back. I took a week off of podcasting and all that stuff. And let me tell you, man. Woo! Feels good to breathe. Yeah. On the last pod, I was, you know, that's just how I was feeling, dude. I was fucking down, and shit happens, man. For so long, I used to just think, I guess all people get to the point where they can't leave their bed, and they walk to their door handle, and they start to open it, and then they retreat back into their room because of fear of the outside world. But I guess that's just a thing everyone does. Forever, they deal with it. So I just dealt with it. I kept shut up about it. Thought it was what it was. It turns out I'm fucking bipolar. Oh, shit. Isn't that funny how that happens? And one of the best things I ever did was learn to forgive myself for having those days, because I'd get real mad. I'd be like, oh, you're not going out. You're not being productive. You're such a piece of shit. It's a moral failing, you know, whatever, man, shit happens. And you know what I did? I still did shows, because the show must go on, you know? I can't, that's the one thing, I'll never stop. My arm will fall off, and I'll be like, well, I still got to do this show at a pizza shop. But it felt good to, I was running wild, doing radio every other day, and then running and doing spots and interviews, because I keep my interviews so I don't have to worry about doing them last minute. But anyway, and I was such a head case, man. I accidentally deleted every single one of my podcast recordings, so I had to redo a bunch of interviews. And then I went and did some little roadie gigs, and I'll tell you what I did that really helped, man. I left the city. Got the hell out of Dodge, baby. That's right. I went home. I saw Gail, and I was like, oh, record an episode at home with Gail. That'll be fun. And I didn't, because I was like, no, man, be a fucking human. Live your life. Play with your cat, your dog. See your mom. You know, make her laugh genuinely. Have a good time. Oh, we had so much fun. We went out to dinner. Oh, my God. When I was at dinner, somebody recognized me in Delaware from being on the radio. Can you believe that? I got such a face for radio, I get recognized for it. And it was so funny. We didn't get a discount or anything, but, you know, multiple waiters came over at different times to, like, bring us our food right away. And my mom is like, Ian, they're treating us so well. VIP. And it was so cute, man, to have that happen in front of my mom. That was really, really nice, you know. And I spent time with her, had some fun, you know. It felt good to hug on old Gail and see my pets. And I went right back to the city and got at it. And it just felt good, man, to get out and just, you know, have a breath and not feel, you know, whatever. And I'll tell you what else I did. I took my Facebook app off my phone. I've been leaving my phone at my apartment when I go out sometimes, and it feels so fucking good. I had like a thing the other night, dude. I did a show Friday night, amazing, right? So much fun. And then afterwards, I just felt empty. Like, what the fuck, man? I want this to keep going. I need more. What the fuck? I why didn't not enough people told me I was good enough. What the fuck? I'm looking online and this person did this and this did that. Da, 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 da. And I talked to my buddy, one of my best friends, funny comic in the city, Evan Williams, and I shouldn't have said his name. I'll bleep it out. Maybe I won't. Whatever. Shout out, buddy. So we're talking, and he's going, I'm telling him how social media is just destroying me, and, you know, it's an addiction. And he's like, dude, this conversation is making me sick. Everyone does it. I do it. And it's enough, man. Tomorrow, I'm going to take the day off. I am fucking, dude, I got to stop talking. I'm going to feel sick. He couldn't even text. He felt so sick. We were doing voice memos to each other. He's going, dude, I literally am going to throw up right now. This conversation's making me so sick. Fuck this. Fuck this. I got to go to bed. And I'm like, all right. And the next day, he texted me. He goes, so it turns out I had food poisoning. We thought that, you know, all social media is getting to us so much. It's, hey, man, this stuff's evil. It's making us sick. No. He just literally was poisoned. But, yeah, man, I've drastically cut back. And it's no surprise that I just feel full and whole. And, you know, it just feels nice, man, you know. And that's, you know, I for a while now, I've been getting into phone calls, voicemails, you know, way less into, you know, all of it's such a jerk off fest, the whole, like, you know, look at this, look at that. And a part of it is, yo, you got to do it. Like, I get gigs, I get bookings, I get shit through Instagram. It's crazy, you know, and then you feel like, well, people have got to know that I'm busy and of value. And it's like, nah, man, fuck that. You know what? I show up every fucking night. I'm in multiple places. I love being around people and talking to people because then I don't got to think in my own head, you know? So it's better than just like sitting at home and analyzing, you know? It's we're defined by our actions, not by what we say or post online, you know? All that shit's not real. Somebody fucking bombed a set Saturday night and I had to tell the producer, like, look, man, this fucking woo. And they go, hey, but they posted a picture on Instagram and said it was so fun and da-da-da-da. I was like, yeah, because that shit's not real, man. You know, it's and it's funny because I genuinely like to have fun and post things. And really, I feel like when I do it, it is real. I'll never, you know, I feel if I have a great time, I'm like, this is great, da-da-da-da. But I'm not going to lie, you know, but whatever, man. I can't judge because I feel that pain of it too, but yeah, man, it's just not real. And it's so funny, you know. I'd much rather show up physically and have a connection with you in the moment than feel as though I gotta, you know, blow you online to be like, yes, bitch, la 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 la, on a fucking douche picture. I don't know, but it's just like fucking Black Lives Matter. Obviously, Black Lives Matter. But you know what? I don't say Black Lives Matter. I fucking treat them like they do, you know? Don't just fucking say shit. Fucking do it, you know? Like, people, like, post, like, oh, look, I'm not going to get into posting. I'll start to go off again. But it's the thing of, like, fucking shut up and do it, you know? Just fucking show up. Whatever, man. It feels good to show up. And it feels good to, you know, trying to make a connection. I've spent, whether it be, you know, my addictions or whatever, or fucking comedy, you know, I really had to extricate myself from everything in my life to focus, you know, on getting right and getting funny. You know, that's all I care about is feeling right and feeling funny, you know. And I've really had to miss out on a ton of people's lives. And my roommate got invited to a wedding, and at first I was like, oh, I don't get invited to weddings anymore. And then I was like, huh? I don't get invited to weddings anymore. Like, being a self-absorbed, reclusive lunatic has saved me thousands upon thousands of dollars. But, you know, I really miss out on a bunch of stuff, you know, and that's okay. You know, people move on, people evolve, whatever, but it feels good to have those relationships with people that no matter what, we can talk, pick up where we left off, and there ain't no hard feelings, you know. And I got a couple people like that. Other people, it just doesn't feel right. They don't understand, whatever. And that's fine, man. That's okay, you know. But yeah, I've been, you know, making just having little phone call talks with old friends. It just feels good to pick up and, you know, I don't know, man. I just love talking. Picked the right profession for that, huh? But I just love talking, having connections. One of my favorite parts of comedy is a hang, man. And that's the thing, too. It felt so good to take time off because, you know, I'm a person that's a comic. Not a fucking comic that's a person, you know? And it's okay to not go out. And I've been, oh, my God, I've been documenting up. Jesus. I've been reading. Yo, fucking watch Wild Wild Country. I'll get into it on the next episode. I don't got time now. Bore you again with another Waco. But holy shit. Woo! Praise Rajneesh. Yeah, man. Oh, sorry about that. That was kind of rude. I don't know. Feels good, you know? And it's so funny because I spent Sunday in the hospital. Ha! Yeah, when I was younger, oh, man, this is fucked up. But whatever. This is who I am, man. When I was younger, I was in sixth grade, I had a testicular torsion, right? That's when a part of your tissue wraps itself around the testicle. And if you don't take care of it right away, it'll kill the testicle, right? So I had to have that done in sixth grade. It was nuts, dude. I went to an all-boys Catholic school. I had to be pushed around in a wheelchair because my fucking nut was messed up. Woo-wee! Talk about a torture chamber. But, yeah, it was, a lot of people had a field day with that one. But, yeah, so I had that problem. And then years later, I did double hernia surgery. I got a hernia when I was 18 from yelling. I would go to Phillies games, and I would be in the bleachers, and I'd just yell and heckle. And I yelled so loud and hard that my fucking abdomen wall opened up. And it's funny because I even with the testicle thing in sixth grade, I was saying, you know, I'm in pain, Mom, I'm in pain. She goes, oh, you're being a pussy. And then we go to the doctor, and they go, you got to get an emergency surgery right now. I'm like, ha, ha, ha. Then that happened when I was 18. I was like, Mom, it hurts. She's like, you're being a whiner. And to her credit, you know, I am a bit of a whiner. Have been. Not anymore, but, you know, whatever. And so she paid it no mind. I got a 45-minute surgery. It was supposed to be 45 minutes. Turned out I was in there 2 hours, double hernia. But it was cool, man. All my friends hung out at my house, and then it was right before we went to college, and they all left. So, like, the friend group shrunk and shrunk and shrunk, and it was funny. Before we all left for college, we got strippers at my friend's house. His parents were gone. We all dressed up in suits. I got a picture. I should take a picture and post it. But we all wore suits and everything, and they get to the house, and we ask the bouncer, we go, are there any rules? He goes, just don't put nothing in the holes. No fingers in the holes. I'm like, oh, my God. And, like, we didn't get it to be like, yeah, fucking let's eat pussy. It was just like, this is a funny thing. Half my friends have never even seen a boob before, so it was funny to watch them react. There's this one douchebag, this kid Brent. He wore fucking mesh shorts, and he kept being like, can I get a dance? And we're like, all right, Brett, chill out. He was always a fucking asshole. You know, one of those guys, it's like you play a pickup game of sports and they just follow the rules too closely. You know, no, you can't do that. You can't do that. No, Brent, you can't do that. You can't ruin our fun with your little fucking stupid rules. Anyway, oh, God, we are such scumbags. We'd throw dollars down, and then when they weren't looking, we'd pick them up and throw them back down again. I'm sorry. And they go, do you have any chocolate syrup to put on his? And my buddy goes in the kitchen. He comes out. He goes, I've got ketchup and mayonnaise. shit. Yeah, when we called, my buddy called, and they go, do you have a preference for girls? And he goes, perky C cups. Well, they sent a girl. Oh, these girls were rough. And he goes, man, I guess when I said perky C cups, what they heard was black with a tattoo in her face. She was hot. She was hotter than the white one. The white one's all trashed up, man. Ugh. Anyway, what was I saying? Oh, yeah, I was in the hospital. Yeah, so, man, my fucking nut's been hurting again, right? And I go to my primary care the other day, and she goes, it might be a torsion. I'm going to give you these antibiotics because it might be epididymitis. If it still hurts, go to the emergency room. Okay. I didn't go to the emergency room the other day because I didn't have insurance. But then I call, get my insurance re-upped. Turns out I'm fucking covered. So now they're back paying for that appointment the other day. Fucking praise baby manger Jesus. So I go to the emergency room. They take me in right away. I'm in a ton of fucking pain. Ton of fucking pain. And they see me right away. Whatever, whatever. Get an ultrasound. Turns out it is epididymitis, but they were worried I might have vesicles, which means I have a chance of being infertile, which is great because I'm getting a vasectomy anyway. So fucking hell yeah, why not? Give me fucking infertility, man. I'll take it. You know, I don't want kids. So I got to go to a urologist for a checkup. I'll do that. And I'll get the fucking date for the vasectomy. Two balls with one stone. You know what I mean? And it was cool, man. I told him, I said, hey, I'm an addict. I'm an alcoholic recovery. Do not give me narcotics. So they pumped me full of this shit. Non-narcotic pain, saline shit. That was good. Helped it. I got prescribed a bunch of ibuprofen. Because I'll tell you, man, 2 years ago, I got hit by a car on my bike. Yeah, fucking sucked. And then I went to the doctor. And that motherfucker... See, I was smoking weed at the time, too. So I was like, yeah, whatever, man. I can handle it. So the fucking doctor goes, how many Percocets do you want a day? Like, five? He goes, okay. And he fucking gave them to me. Dude, I ate fucking 90-some pills in 7 days. Woo! And did again the next month. My pharmacist had to have like an intervention with me. And every time, V&A Pharmacy in Williamsburg, Vivek, this guy is the best. I just go in there and hang out with him sometimes. He's the coolest dude. And every time I'm like, hey man, I got this many fucking times sober. And he's like, I'm proud of you, buddy. And he's cool, dude. But yeah, I stopped going to that doctor because I was so afraid for a while. I was going to be like, yeah, give me the Percocet. But yeah, so it was pretty cool to be like, yo, do not give me that shit. Okay? I don't need it. Okay? I'm living a good life today. All right? And, yeah, it felt good, man. It felt real good. Nuts feeling better. That's good. They told me no sex for a week. No riding bikes for 3 weeks. That's going to be tougher than sex. I said, hey, I ain't had sex since November. I'm proud of that, too. And, but that means no jerking off. And... no pornography. So I'm off that too, man. That feels good. Woo, man. I feel like the more sperm you have in your nuts, the more clear-minded you are. Or it gets to a point where you're like, I gotta get this out of me. But we'll see. Yeah, it feels good, man. I've been really trying to live straight and narrow. I feel like that's a new drug. That's like the new rebellion. When you're younger, you're like, yeah, I'm going to do drugs. I'm going to do alcohol because I fuck everyone else. Yeah, I'm a badass. Nah, man. You're a fucking badass if you don't do shit. Fucking goddamn. No fucking, no booze, no drugs. Yeah, I can, no Facebook. Cutting back on the social media. Woo! Yeah. I'm like straight edge again, but with cigarettes and coffee. Man. But yeah. Yeah, and it's so funny because where your mind goes, you know, I'm laying in the emergency room. They got me all hooked up to all these things and shit. And it's funny, too, because I think true bravery and courage is being in the hospital and not posting it on social media. Is that fucking gross? People are in the hospital. They post a picture of their IV or some bullshit, and they do it in, like, a cutesy way. Where they're like, just want to let everyone know I'm fine. Yeah, we already knew you were fine. Nobody was worrying if you were not fine, and now you got to inject this into our head, and now we got to think about you in the hospital. Just don't let us know. Nobody would have cared either way. If you are fine, you don't got to tell people. I'm not calling people to go, hey, how you doing? Just want to let you know I'm fine. Yeah, doing good. Okay, bye. I'm in the hospital, but I'm fine. You fucking... sanctimonious fuck, you attention-seeking bitch. Posting on social media that you're in the hospital. Fuck you. Those likes ain't gonna cure you, you sick bitch. Anyway, yeah. So nobody knew about it. It's just, well, I guess you guys know about it now. Well, now who's seeking attention? Yeah, whatever. Not me. I'm just reporting. I'm just telling you about my life, man. But it was funny because I was texting my buddy that told me he was sick. I go, I'm sicker than you. But that's like, you know, a best friend that you like have intimate conversations with. And he ain't fucking posts on stupid Facebook. But it's so funny. I'm in there, man. And I'm like, oh my God, I got a road gig tomorrow. I gotta do radio tomorrow and a road gig. And then I'm radio the next day. What if I miss it? What if I have emergency surgery? Oh, I'll still do it. I'll tell them I'll do the surgery later. I'm a fighter. And they're like, no, you're good. I'm like, oh, she's sick. Yeah, so Sunday. And then Monday, man, I was supposed to do Compound Media, but they messed up the date. And that's all right. I woke up early, made a nice breakfast, but I got to do some writing and everything. I took a bus up to Boston, headlined Cityside. That's a great fucking show. God damn, that was fun, man. Felt really, really good. Really fucking locked in, got in the groove. And I took a 1 a.m. bus back to New York because I had to do Nikki's show. Nikki Glaser's You Up on Comedy Central Radio. Super fun show. Sirius XM. I had to do that Tuesday, 11 a.m., so I'm like, all right. So I'll take the bus, get in 5 a.m., sleep. And I was so worried. I was like, you're going to sleep through your alarm. No, you're not. Motherfucker. I get in 5 a.m., get back to my apartment, 6 a.m. Get in 5 a.m., get back to my apartment, 6 a.m. I'm like, all right, you're going to sleep for 2 hours, okay? Yeah, I slept through my alarm. 10:45 a.m., my eyes shoot open like Sigourney Weaver in Ghostbusters when she's Zool. Just straight up panic. Doctor told me not to ride my bike. Fuck that. I got to get to the train. I hop on my bike. I ride it to the train. Lock up. Get on the train. I left at 10:55, I think. I got to Sirius at 11:25. I go in. I'm huffing. I'm puffing. I was stuttering, but we had good radio, man. It was a blast. Oh, it was so fun. And they're going to have me back a bunch, which is great. And then I got to pop into Bennington. So I did Nikki's show, and I popped into Bennington as like a fun little surprise, hung out there for a bit. And then I went, shout out to Andrew Collin. He and I walked a couple dogs of his. And then we shot pool, and who won? Yeah, you're right. I won. 2 out of 3 games, bitch. What's up, motherfucker? Yeah. But it was fun, man. We were laughing, having a good time. And then, you know, here we are. Feels good, man. I wanted to say that I'm going to call a friend of mine. Hopefully he picks up. This fucking kid. He's an idiot. You know those people you got in your life that are grandfathered in? You know what I mean? Like if you met him today, you'd be like, this piece of shit. You'd have nothing to do with him, but because you known him your whole life, you're like, no, I'll make an exception. I mean, this dude is a fucking Neanderthal caveman. We used to drink all the time. Matter of fact, I call him from rehab. I go, hey, man, look, I check myself in. He goes, well, who am I going to get fucked up with at the beach? I get out of rehab. He goes, hey, come over. I go, are you drinking? He goes, yeah. I go, dude, I don't drink. He goes, well, you can watch me drink. And he doesn't even know what he's doing. He's just a fucking idiot. You know what I mean? It's one of those dudes. One of those dudes that gets drunk and be like, punch me in the head. I can take a punch, man. Punch me in the head. Hard as you can. Come on. Oh, my God. We used to have so much fun, man, when we were younger. We used to go to the mall, and I'd be on crutches, and I'd fall, or I'd fall on the ground, and people would swarm over and be like, oh my God, I'd be like, I just need my medicine. They're like, where's your medicine? I go, Tylenol cold. And they're like, what the fuck? Oh God, we used to have fun, man. Anyway, in high school, listen, man, if you live in the suburbs, you gotta make your own fun. And we used to smash mailboxes, and you've never felt joy until you fucking take a mailbox off. And we'd only do it in rich neighborhoods, okay? And also, one time I put a sledgehammer through a cop windshield, okay? So, yeah, I've always been fucked up police, motherfuckers. I was a wild lunatic. We used to smash mailboxes. Oh, my God, we used to just, like, destroy neighborhoods. And I mean, whatever, dude, it was fun. I don't regret it. You know the knockout game when inner city kids knock people out? This is a knockout game for the suburbs, okay? You're a young kid. You don't think about long consequences. Your brain's not fully developed. You can't process long-term effects. And you just try to find your fun, you know? We're a couple fucking knuckleheads running around, man. Anyway, this motherfucker one night smashed Bam Margera's mailbox from Jackass, right? We all did it. We all did. I was a getaway driver. You fucking smash it right up. Then this stupid idiot goes back a couple nights later to get it again. What? Dude, Bam hopped on his car, gets the police at his house the next day, takes him to court, shows up in court in a top hat and a scarf. Dude, Bam went to his house and like berated him. And like, or no. My buddy and his dad went to Bam's house to apologize. And Bam was like, "You're a piece of shit. You're a fat fuck. And your kid's a fucking loser." Like, just a fucking jerk off. And I'm going to call him right now and try to get the story. His name's Justin. He's a fucking idiot. I love him. But, oh, and by the way, he he's got such a boner for Opie and Anthony. And whenever I'm on Kumia, he's always like, "Call me, man. I'll tell you stuff about Anthony. You bring it up." He'll be like, "Oh, man, you really know me." It's that kind of fucking idiot. Let's see if he picks up. He's driving Uber now out in Pittsburgh. Of course, right? Come on, pick up, you fat fuck.
Call has been forwarded.
God damn it.
Voice message system 610.
Don't listen to his phone number. Oh, shit. Oh, God. That would have been bad, right? I'll get him to call him. And let me leave a message. Hold on. What's up, you fat pig? It's Ian. I'm recording my podcast, and I wanted you to be on it. Tell me the story about Bam. But you're probably picking up some idiot from the airport driving around Pittsburgh, you dipshit. Anyway, love you, man. Give me a shout back, and I'll talk to you soon. Call me soon. I'll put you on the pod. Okay, bye. All right. Well, we'll wait back to hear from Justin, whose alter ego when he got drunk was Mr. Stink. Yeah, I swear to God, one time we were out in Westchester, and we leave this bar, and some guy called me a fag, and I was like, "Oh, look at the homo in a leather jacket." And they, like, chased after me, and I ran down the street, and I was like, "The douchebags are coming, the douchebags are coming," like, thinking it was no big deal. Well, they, my two buddies were like, "What the fuck, yo, leave him alone." The guy swings, first of all, we had a 12-pack, because we were going home to booze afterwards. And apparently the guy swung on my buddy. My buddy ducks and lays him out. One punch, just his face explodes. I turn around and all I see are beers everywhere and Justin sitting on the back of one guy doing a camel clutch going, "I don't want to hurt you. I don't want to hurt you." And apparently what happened, the guy was coming up on our other friend Fred to swing, and Justin took the 12-pack of beer and smashed it over his head. There's beers everywhere on the street. I run up. It's like the aftermath. Police show up, and everyone's going, "These guys swung at them first, right?" And the cops go, "Get out of here." And they're putting the guy whose face exploded in handcuffs, putting him in a car. And me and Justin are running on the street, picking up all the beers, putting them in our shirt, and we just run away. Oh, goddamn. I got some fucking stories, man. Maybe we'll tell him, but yeah, we're going to get him on the line. So I'll talk to you soon. Okay, bye. Hello?
What do you want?
What's up, dude?
What's up, man?
What are you doing?
I'm leaving work.
Uber?
No, I got a new job, man.
Oh, what are you doing?
I'm selling dust collection equipment, basically, parts for dust collection equipment, hopefully selling the big dust collectors down the road. Like, they're like industrial size, like dust machines and collection machines for like wood shops and welding and plasma cutters and shit like that.
Oh, so like when dudes are
Is it like
vacuums that people put on saws?
Kind of, yeah. Like, it would be above the saw station, and it's like a ventilation system for a big factory, you know what I mean? Like, so, not like HVAC ventilation, like, actually, like, yeah, if there's, like, someone, if there's, like, a bunch of welding going on, or if there's, like, like a wood shop that's got a bunch of fucking dust and debris kicking around, or anywhere where there's dust, like, kicking around or shit kicking off. These systems, like, pull it out and filter it and put clean air back in or whatever you want to do, collect it. It's pretty sweet. I mean, the place is, like, not far from my house, and the guy that owns it, like, lives right up the street from me in my neighborhood, which I didn't know until I applied there.
Oh, shit. And,
so it's pretty fucking sweet, dude. They just bought this new building. And they build all the shit, like, right here. Like, literally, like, there's just dudes in the back, like, welding these giant machines together and fucking collecting shit. And it's pretty fucking rad.
No. No way, dude. That's sick.
Yeah. I'm excited about it.
You like it?
I've only been there, like, a week so far. But they just went through this big, like, training for the sales reps that they use from around the country, so they were all, like, in, so I haven't really got, like, super into it yet, but, I'm pretty excited about it. The product they're building is pretty fucking sweet, and, they're newer, so,
yeah, did you lie on your resume, like, that whole oil field thing?
No, I pretty much told them, they were like, yeah, you know, we don't care, you know, they basically told me, they're like, we don't care if you don't know a fucking thing about dust collection. We're like, we can teach you about that. Just, you know, can you do this, this, and that? I'm like, yeah, fuck yeah. I'm like, this is what I've done. And they're like, all right, yeah, let's do it.
That's sick, bro.
Yeah, dude. Should be good, dude. It's like
Is Joey still living on your couch?
Yeah, he's still in the basement.
Yeah. Why don't you get him a dust collecting job?
Yeah. I don't feel like he would like to. Yeah, he'd probably be better suited in the back, but
maybe he could work for one of the dudes with the machines and chop off another finger.
Yeah, maybe.
Yo,
retrieve it out of the dust collector.
Collected an old finger.
Yeah.
Yo, so did you listen to the message I left you?
No, I just, like I said, I was in there. I just left, so I didn't really fucking listen to anything. Why?
Well, I wanted to talk to you on my podcast about when Bam showed up at your house.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
He didn't show up at my house. I showed up at his house.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah, what happened with that? Well, wait. We smashed his mailbox and got away with it. Why'd you and Sean go back?
We went back because we just bought these sledgehammers. And if you remember, when we smashed it, I hit it with that baseball bat, and it never fucking came clean off. And, you know, that was like I might as well struck out. It popped right back out. So, like, we never got, and then we got back in your car and fucking took off. Like, never got a real good clean shot on it. So, when we got those fucking sledgehammers, we wanted to go back and finish it off. And we fucking went back.
You went back, like, 2 days later.
Yeah, we went back, like, it was like a week later, I think. It was a week later. And, dude, I still swear that someone else was there smashing his mailbox, because he claimed we did it more than once, you know what I mean? Uh-huh. Which I know we only did it that one time, but, so yeah, when we go back there, we're in Sean's fucking shithole red Mustang, and, you know, we got I don't even remember, we might have had the fucking top down for all I know, and that it was that piece of shit four-cylinder Mustang with no balls. And we fucking pull in, and I see him, like, up in that, he had that big fucking window, and he's, like, sitting there. It's almost like he was, like, waiting for us, like, he knew we were coming. And I swear he did. Like, he was sitting there looking out his window, sees us pull in, and must have knew that that car didn't belong in that fucking neighborhood, because there was a cul-de-sac at the end. So he fucking turns around, Sean does, and we see him coming out of his fucking house, and we're like, oh, fuck.
Was Bam Margera wearing a top hat, or what was he doing?
No, I don't know what he was doing. He just looked like Bam, you know what I mean? He walks out in his T-shirt, whatever.
Right.
And then I'm like, oh, dude, just go. And, of course, he walks right in front of the fucking car.
Right.
And Sean pulls over like, oh, dude, it's fine, you know, we're just turning around.
What? Why did... Oh, okay, go ahead.
Yeah, so he's like, well, you know, he comes up and he's like, what the fuck are you guys doing here? He's like, what? He's like, we're just fucking, you know, just turning around. What's your problem? He's like, I'll tell you what my problem is. He's like, you assholes are fucking, you know, he's like, you're here smashing my ballot box. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? He's like, I saw your fucking car last time. Which is what I'm saying. I'm like, how the fuck, you know, we were never here with his car.
Right.
You know, and he's like, and, you know, so we start going back and forth. And, of course, like I said, the fucking shithole top down and everything. We got both sledgehammers in the back seat. He's got his, I got mine, and fucking, and he's like, oh, what's back there? And he's like, what are you talking about? He's like, oh, a fucking sledgehammer, huh? He's like, oh, yeah, he's just back here with some sledgehammers, huh? He's like, he fucking writes down the fucking license plate, and,
Didn't Sean say, no, we're building a fence.
Yeah, well, that's what, well, dude, just fucking a day later, 2 days later, I'm at work, Sean calls me, and he's like, yeah, dude, the cop's here about that fucking mailbox. I'm like, what? He's like, yeah. He's like, don't really worry about it. I'm just saying, here's the story. We bought these things because your dad wanted to build a fence, and so that's why we had the sledgehammers, and all we were doing was turning around. He's like, so if the cop comes to you, that's our story. And I'm like, okay. Well, I leave work, I think. Or I was like on a break or something. I'm going over, and then I see, of all fucking things, I like pull up, I think. You know, because he said the cop wanted to talk to me, so I pull up to Sean's house. My dad somehow fucking sees a goddamn cop car over at Sean's house and starts walking across the field. And my dad never fucking goes over there, never does anything, but he sees my car, sees a cop car, wondering what the fuck's going on, walks over there, and fucking, and there we are. Right after we explained to the cop that we're just building a fence, he seemed to almost buy it. And then he's like, who's this guy? And I look over and I'm like, oh no. And then he goes, hey, sir. He's like, it's my son here. He's like, what's going on? He's like, they're just telling me, were they building you a fence? He's like, I don't know what you're talking about. He's like, you don't, huh? And he looks back at us, and Sean and I are just like, oh, fuck. We're like, motherfucker. So we start squirming again, and then Sean's just like, yeah, it was me. I fucking smashed it. It was me. He's like, you didn't have anything to do with it. I was like, no, Sean. I was like, it was fucking both of us. You know, I was like, you know, we actually never smashed it. I was like, this is, you know, he said we did, we were going to, but we didn't, you know. Then I was like, well, maybe, you know, I did before once, but, you know. But I was like, Sean didn't do anything. He's like, no, I was there. He's like, I was like, what the fuck, Sean, you know? I was like, so then my dad's pissed, you know, and he's like, you're going over there and apologizing, and you're going to fucking, you know, try and keep this out of court, you know. So I'm like, he's like, where's this motherfucker live, you know? I'm like, Jesus. So we go over there, and I fucking knock on the door with my dad, and then I think his mom answered, you know, and his little crew was over there, and I'm like, yeah, dude. It was like, smash your mailbox. I was like, I got some cash. I was like, whatever it would take to fucking fix it, man. And he's like, well, fuck you, fix it. So I don't fucking give a fuck about that, you know. He's like, you know, he's like, you know, that's fucking bullshit, and, you know, I'm taking you guys to court. I don't give a shit. He's like, this is bullshit. You guys are always over here fucking smashing my shit up. I'm like, yo, dude, wait a second. And then he starts, like, mouthing off to my dad. My dad's like, hey, son. He's like, whoa. He's like, who do you think you're talking to? He's like, don't talk to me like that. He's like, I brought him over here to fucking, you know, make this right. He's like, I don't give a fuck about that. And, I was like, yo, man, I was like, I didn't fucking smash it. I was like, I smashed it one time. I was like, I didn't fucking smash it. I said, I didn't do that. Because I looked at it, and, like, it looked like, you know, I was like, first of all, I was like, nothing's even fucking wrong with it. You know? I was like, so what are you talking about? And he's like, he just goes off, and, you know, and then we're walking away, and my dad's like, fuck that asshole. He's a fucking cocksucker. He's like, I'll smash that motherfucker's mailbox, too. I said, yeah, I know. I said, Dad, I was like, this guy's on TV all the time doing this shit to everyone else around the area. You know what I mean? I was like, fuck him. So, yeah, that was pretty much it. I mean.
God damn it, dude. That's so fucking funny.
Yeah.
I remember one time he was driving his Ferrari down Main Street. And you're like, if I see that thing, I'm chucking a fucking battery at it.
Oh, yeah, fuck him, dude. Yeah, dude, it ended up going to court. I mean, I had to get a fucking lawyer, and then, they said it was going to be more community service, but the judge, like, knocked it back, and just to fucking make him happy, they said it was going to be more than it was. I mean, Sean and I had to do two weekends with the fucking, the fucking highway crew out there, picking up garbage and doing God knows whatever else.
Yeah, didn't he wear a top hat and a scarf to court?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, he looked like a fucking retard. I forgot about that. Yeah, he looked like a fuck. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
shit.
And even though it was worse, who the fuck is this? Top hat and scarf.
Hey, you're breaking up, brother. You're breaking up. All right, whatever. I'll call you later. Ah, fucking hell. Oh, shit. Well, that's the story, folks. Hope you enjoyed that one as much as I enjoyed listening. Holy shit. Let me tell you, we got a million more of those stories. Maybe we'll bring them out of the vault every couple episodes or something, man. That's that. Whew, that was a humdinger, man. God. I just love looking back, talking with pals, just laughing so hard you can't help but slap your leg. That's why we call them old knee slappers. Know what I mean, bub? That's right. So let's go over what we learned today, huh? Well, we learned it's good to talk on the phone. We learned that it's good to put the phone down. We learned that it's okay to take a step back, to take a step forward. We learned that Bam Margera is a fucking asshole. And we learned, most importantly, check your balls, folks. You're a guy or a gal, or a guy that's a gal, or a gal that's a guy, or whatever you are. Give them a feel. Don't feel too bad about going and get checked out. It's important. Anyway, tomorrow night, we'll be at Caroline's on Broadway. Doing some old set of Roonies with Nikki Glazer. Going to be a fun time. This next week, I got a bunch of stuff in the city, man. I'm real excited about it. Going to be a little busy beaver. Doing some radio gigs coming up. Check me out, ianfidance.com. ianfidance.com. On over to Instagram at ianimal, and email me ianfidanceswildworld@gmail.com. I've been getting emails and stuff on Instagram. Y'all been so cool, man. I appreciate that. I'm gonna read them on the next one, I promise. But yeah, more than anything, man, I appreciate y'all, and I hope you appreciate yourselves. This has been fun. I'm glad I took a week off. Maybe I'll do it again. Maybe I won't. But guess what? It's my world, bitch. You're living in it. That's right. Ian Fidance's wild world. All right, man. Thank you all so much. Enjoy every sandwich. Have a good one. Bye.